No BS Nutrition is still wearing masks when we go to the grocery store, and we're not mad about it.
This is a one-hour food fight against diet culture and its fake science messages.
Instead, we're passionate about celebrating real wellness.
I'm registered dietitian Hannah McGee.
And I'm neuroscience PhD student Tariq Youssef, and this is No BS Nutrition. We moved our modem.
Oh, you moved your Wi-Fi modem?
So for everybody listening, I guess this is a kind of a cold open. For everybody listening, if you've been worried about my Wi-Fi, we did move our modem.
I'm sure they're all on like their toes wanting to make sure that your Wi-Fi is better.
Yeah, everyone can't wait to hear about my Wi-Fi. I want everyone to know that I just pulled the most gorgeous espresso I've ever pulled in my life. It's so stunningly beautiful. I try to learn a little bit about my espresso machine so that I use it properly. And there's all this stuff about like you have to pack the grind in so tight or like not too tight so that the pressure of the water is at like the right amount when it goes through the grind so that it like comes out as like beautiful espresso. And then at the very end, it comes out as foam. And it had that perfect foam top. It tastes lovely.
Sounds amazing. I don't know that much about espresso. And oh, look at you sipping your... Look at you sipping it. You look so
Guess, and for our lovely YouTube viewers, we did have... We did have a few of you. I want to give you a huge shout out and say, we are going to reserve the energy we've been expending on making videos for a little bit.
Yeah.
Just because most of everybody listened to us through podcast apps anyway. I want to give a huge shout out to everybody with an iPhone because apparently that's who listens to our... We do have a few Android fans and friends out there.
Nice.
But yeah, we're going to reserve our YouTube energy for a bit and maybe we'll go back to making videos later.
Yeah.
I don't see why not.
No.
But right now it just doesn't seem to be where... Yeah, it doesn't seem to be where people are listening. So.
Totally. Yeah. All right, so today's episode, I mean, we're going to talk about exercise and movement, but I guess we have to talk about something else first.
Okay, could you tell me what your BS of the week is?
Yes, okay, so my BS of the week, and I texted you earlier on in the week, and I was like, oh, do I have a BS of the week for you? Because I'm sure...
I know, you really raised the expectations.
Yeah, I'm sure you're going to love this one, just because it's so... It's just so completely against, like... basic human physiology that it makes you want to laugh and like scream and like shake people. I'm sorry, but like
I'm so excited. Okay,
this BS of the week is something that I feel like it's a wellness trend that's been around for a long time, and I believe it stems from like the food combining kind of eating pattern. Have you heard of that, Tariq? Food combining?
Food combining?
Yeah.
I've heard the term, but I don't know what it means.
Okay. So this is, I think, just like an aspect of food combining. This what specific BS of the week that I'm going to talk about.
To me, it sounds like you mix your peas in with your mashed potatoes and you
get
a bite of like everything on your plate at the same time.
So food combining is kind of like that. It's like... basically, the belief that, like, certain combinations of food are, like, better for you and your digestion than others.
Okay.
But it's, spoiler alert, it's bogus.
Yeah.
So
the only thing I can even think of is, like, incorporate fiber into your meals.
No, so this food combining is, like, the opposite. It's, like,
okay.
I wrote a whole blog post on it last summer, actually, so I'll link that for, for... listeners, if they want to check that out. But I was reminded of this aspect of the food combining diet when I read this book not too long ago. I was just telling Tariq, it has nothing to do with nutrition. It's just about this guy who hires a Navy SEAL to come live with him for a month and like train him.
Sounds like a movie.
I think it should be a movie because it would be a good movie. And anyways, this Navy SEAL is also like really intense. Like he's I think, known as, like, the toughest man in the world. Like, he just does crazy okay. shit, like, runs ultra marathons and breaks his toes while he's doing it, but he keeps running. Like, just crazy. It's, like, mind-blowing. Anyway, so the author of the book and the guy who hired the Navy SEAL mentions in the book that he only eats fruit for, like, the first half of the day. Okay. He follows a fruit first rule. And this isn't just him. Like, this, I've seen lots of people, even like influencers.
It's a thing.
Yeah, on social media, like, take a picture of their like bowl of fruit in the morning and put like fruit first in the caption and stuff like that. And again, I think it stems from the food combining kind of eating pattern. But basically, the claims are that. And just bear with me here, like, before you...
Okay, I'm obsessed with this.
I know you're going to want to go off the walls, but...
Well, I'm obsessed with everything you're saying so far. We could talk about just what you just said, like, fruit first for, like, an hour, I'm sure.
I know. So, the claims are that fruit... Because... Well, okay. The claims are that fruit digests faster than other foods, which, you know, it's... I would say, yes, that's true. They're, you know, made up of mainly carbohydrates... Certain fruits are made up of easier digesting carbohydrates than others because of their lack of their lack of fiber. Yeah, I guess I would say
okay,
that.
Okay, yeah.
And then, you know, like an apple has more fiber than a mango, so a mango would digest
faster. Okay.
Anyways, the belief is that fruit digests faster than other foods like protein-rich or fat-rich foods, which is true. Therefore... People claim that eating fruit in combination with other foods, like protein and fat-containing foods, will slow down gastric emptying or stomach emptying, causing the fruit to rot in the stomach. I'm not kidding you. Some people believe this.
This is like, it's almost like carbohydrate, like, allergy, like it's like adjacent to that sort of like BS-ness, you know what I mean?
I guess, yeah, but it's not an allergy because people still eat it, but they just think that they can't eat it with protein and fat. Like they think they have to eat it alone.
I don't understand, like, do people think that, first of all, are these people swallowing their food whole?
Right,
like
they...
they're not chewing it up?
Exactly. Are they chewing and swallowing
like,
the food?
What's happening that it's just going to sit there?
I don't know. And I don't know why we think it will rot. Like, what do you mean rot? Like, it's just going to... It's not going to move from your stomach because... Like, what? It's just going to sit there? Because...
Yeah, also, like, it's being broken down into its components. Like, anything we eat is being broken down into its components. So... Why would one component necessarily be treated differently than another? That
right.
I also don't get.
Right. So let me get into this. So
yeah,
let's talk about like the reality of this. So sure, eating a piece of fruit on its own with nothing else will break down and digest and absorb faster in the body than if you were to eat it with like a protein or fat containing
a steak.
Food.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Exactly. But. I honestly don't know why you would want this, like why you would want your fruit to break down and absorb so quickly, because then it's just going to make you, you're only going to feel full for like 30 minutes and then you're going to be hungry again. Like, so that's number one. Like, why do we want fruit to digest and absorb so quickly? Like, why do we want that to happen? Like, so you get a quick boost of energy. Oh, well, 30 minutes later, you're going to crash and need something else. So anyways, number two. Nothing's going to freaking rot in your stomach. Like, that's not a thing. If you eat fruit, like, just think about it. If you eat fruit in combination with other foods, like, say you have apple with nut butter, or you have some berries on the side, like, with your plate of eggs and avocado toast in the morning, it all enters your stomach. Like, as you're eating this meal, it all enters your stomach and gets mixed together at the same time. It's getting mixed together as you're chewing.
Yeah.
Like if you take, you know what I mean? Like, as soon as you take a bite of fruit and then you take a bite of toast with avocado on it, like, it's all going to get mixed together as it's going down to your stomach. And, like, your stomach isn't able to pinpoint the fruit and, like, separate it from the other things and leave it there to rot. Like, that's not how it works. It all gets combined together in what we call a bolus. Like, it's all mixing and mashing together. And then when it all reaches the stomach, it's we're getting like gastric or stomach juices or stomach acid mixed into all of it, again, to keep breaking it down and mixing it all together in this like right. ball of food. It's not like, oh, the apple's over here and the eggs are over here. You know what I mean? It's so it's not possible for like one specific thing like fruit or the carbohydrates from fruit to like stay in your stomach and rot.
Start rotting.
Yeah.
What it does make me think of, like why I was saying the carbohydrate allergy earlier, is it does make me think of like milk sensitivity. You know how like I learned that because we lack certain, yeah. like some people can lack certain enzymes, so they can't break yeah. down lactose, and then the yeah. lactose, the milk starts fermenting, basically.
Yeah.
So, but so that's, the people, but the thing these people are missing is like there's no enzyme deficiency here. Like, sure. why would there be any rotting?
Exactly, and that's so that like the lactase enzyme deficiencies, like that's not even in your stomach. That's in your intestines. So that's your right. food still has to pass your stomach first to get to your intestines. So this isn't even like we're not even reaching that yet. People are saying that like this right, is still just going to sit in your stomach and not move, which is so wow. like just like I said, kind of against, or you know, it's not taking in consideration any understanding of like the digestive system or human biology or physiology at all. So again, it's not possible for anything to rot or ferment in the stomach. One, because it doesn't stay in there long enough. When we eat something, like it's in and out of the stomach in like, if it's fast, 20 minutes up to a couple hours. Like that's the longest it'll stay in your stomach. It's not going to sit there for days, you know, giving it time to rot. And secondly, the stomach is so highly acidic that the possibility of like bacteria or microbes to get in there and ferment the food in order for it to rot is not there. Like that's not going to happen. So the right. last thing I want to say is that we want people, like as dietitians, we want people to combine foods. Like we want you to eat your fruit with a protein source. We want you to eat balanced meals with carbohydrates, fruit, fiber, protein, fat, whatever, for a reason. And this is to help you feel more satisfied and energized and full for longer. You know, right. doing this keeps your blood sugars from spiking up quickly and then crashing down quickly, like they would if you were to eat a giant bowl of fruit alone. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying that that's physiologically what's going to happen. And it will make you feel hungrier sooner, or, you know, you won't feel as satisfied for longer. So the next time you see something about food combining or this quote unquote, like fruit first philosophy, like take note that there are not healthcare professionals or dietitians recommending these things. They're usually like this random wealthy man who wrote this book, or like who has no knowledge of nutrition or science, and, or like influencers who have seen other influencers doing it. So they jump on the train and, you know,
so
go ahead.
I was just going to ask, like, what is their goal here? Why do they want this food? Why do they want fruit first? Like, so you again, mentioned a little bit about, like, energy spikes maybe. But is that the main goal? Or is it weight loss? Or what
I
is
honestly,
it?
I don't know. I think it's all about, like, kind of like the, you know, this quote-unquote wellness diet. Or, like, wellness culture. How it's all about optimizing your body and, like, I don't know. Yeah, this optimization, whatever the hell optimization means, it's about like, you know, feeling as good as you can feel. And like, for some reason, I just think people don't understand that like food taking a longer time to digest isn't a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. Like they think for some right. reason that if food is sitting in your stomach or in your intestines for longer, like for some reason, this isn't like optimal, when in reality it is. So I think, again, it's just all about optimizing how you feel and optimizing how your body's functioning. You want things to move quicker and, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I would also, like, it also seems very, like, taking that kind of nutrition advice from somebody who, like, runs marathons all the time and does this kind of thing is, like, that's not translatable to everybody. Like, you...
Yeah.
You're burning energy at like a really fast and huge rate compared to the average person.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't really know how translatable any nutrition advice is from somebody like that. Like, maybe that's working from them. Like, I guess, like, props to you.
Sure. If
like,
that's working at the individual level, like, fine, great. If you want to eat fruit, like, first thing in the morning or, you know, and just fruit because it makes you feel good, that's great. And that's fine. And absolutely wonderful, you know, great. But we just need to get it out there that like there's no science behind this. Like there's also when I did the blog post on food combining last summer, I looked, you know, I did a little literature search trying to see if there was anything about that had looked into food combining. And obviously there was nothing basically because these claims like about eating fruit first and the idea that fruit like rotting in the stomach will happen. And no one's researched this because these claims and like myths just blatantly go against basic human physiology. Yeah. So scientists there's no way.
It's kind of like what we were talking about with collagen. Like when you are digesting collagen, you're breaking it down to your amino acids.
So there's no guarantee it's going to build collagen in the body.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. So yeah, anyways,
that's so funny. There's also like Usain Bolt who eats chicken nuggets before running in the morning. Like there are really good athletes who aren't doing fruit first. So I don't know why this person is saying that's the way to live.
Yeah. And I think that like, there's also just a component of like, if you believe hard enough that something, it's kind of like the placebo effect. If you like believe that doing something is going to make a huge difference, you're probably going to feel some sort of difference. And so like this guy who in this book that was doing fruit first, he was a runner and he like trained a lot. And like I said, he hired a Navy SEAL to come live with him and they were running like 10 miles a day. And like they would go out and run like six miles in the morning. And all this guy would eat afterwards would be like bananas. And, you know, great for him if that's what, you know, if that works for him. But you guys just need to understand like there's no science behind these things. So when you see these things, just be critical of, you know, whether these recommendations can be made like for wide populations or, you know, who's saying them? Do they have credentials? Does it go against basic human physiology? Like, and you know,
human physiology check?
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, I thought that was,
I love that.
Thank you. Yeah.
I thank you for also like, thank you for, I guess presenting it that way. Like this is a good example of how a lot of these BSs just like, even looking at like a grade 10 biology textbook, like just by reading one section in there, like you would know this clearly doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Like it's hard as a healthcare professional or even anyone who has like, exactly like a science degree or even high school science, like you said, if you remember those things, like to hear about this stuff and not get really angry and like not, not be like, this is total bullshit and like kind of go off. And I guess I'm glad that's why we have this podcast. We have a safe place to do so.
Speaking of, yeah.
What were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say, I really went off about the Zoe app last week or the week before, and I'm really happy I did.
Yeah.
But just so nobody sues us, everything I say on this podcast is my own opinion. I'm not giving any medical advice.
Yeah.
And critique falls under common use because I read some podcast law in Canada. So I'm allowed to say that.
There you go.
I'm allowed to say what I said. I said what I said.
So I think just the last thing I want to say about this is that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like I said, you know, if you're craving fruit in the morning and you just want to eat a bowl of fruit, that's fine. Sometimes I do that, but I also know that I'm not reaping any benefit from just eating a piece of fruit in the morning.
Right.
And just, I guess, be aware of why you're making the decisions that you're making. If you're craving fruit and only fruit in the morning and that makes you feel good, wonderful. But if you're doing it because like this glamorous influencer makes it look cool or makes it look glamorous, or makes you fear that food's going to rot in your stomach, when there's an issue. Like, so you just have to, again, like I said, be wary of where you're getting your information and why you're implementing the practices that you're implementing.
That's a really great point. I mean, like, I hope, like, people who aren't necessarily in a science field who listen to this podcast are beginning to kind of learn about the skills we use to see whether or not something is credible. That's the whole point, right? Is that we want to provide this kind of science literacy, nutrition, and health literacy to everybody who's listening.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that they can start breaking down these claims for themselves.
Totally. Yeah.
Oh, and I want to say before we keep going, hi to Munich, who is our...
Hello,
apparently
Munich.
we're getting big in Munich.
Amazing.
So people who are listening from Munich, hi.
It's a dream come true.
It's a dream come true, absolutely. I would love to visit after the pandemic. Yeah. So maybe we should just get into the main topic after that amazing BS of the week.
Absolutely. So this week we wanted to talk about something a little bit lighter, since we've done, you know, a couple science heavy episodes in the last couple weeks. And we like to mix things up here and there. So today we're going to talk about something that, you know, it's not necessarily nutrition related, but it is wellness related. And it is part of, you know, the intuitive eating principles and, you know, health at every size approaches to health and wellness. So we want to talk about exercise and movement, and specifically joyful movement and what that is and how to adopt it into your life. And just kind of changing your mindset around exercise and movement, right?
Yeah, I was just going to say, too, we have previously talked about athletics and nutrition a little bit, but I think we can... I've been reading some really interesting stuff lately around that. Just like, I read like a lot of nutrition science articles now that we do the podcast. Yeah. And I think we can do a future episode on some, you know, metabolism and energetics and exercise. And maybe like look into supplementation in that area. So maybe if there's some interest, I personally would love to do a future episode about another episode about exercise and nutrition.
Totally. This one isn't necessarily like exercise and nutrition, like pairing the two together.
Exactly.
This is more about exercise. So yeah, I would love to, again, in the future, kind of visit pairing exercise and nutrition together. That would be really fun.
Yeah. And send us any questions if you have questions about that. So like that maybe we can address in that future episode. But like Hannah's saying, this one's more about like incorporating movement into your life as part of your wellness routine, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. So oftentimes, I guess exercise is a lot of the times associated with like dieting or trying to lose weight or like getting back on track. And, you know, it's common to just assume, like when you see people at the gym, just because of the society we've been brought up in, like to assume that people are only there to lose weight or to maintain the way that they look, or to change their body to look a certain way. But I feel like exercise, well, no, I feel like I know that exercise holds so many more benefits that aren't associated with weight loss and dieting. So I guess that's the kind of stuff we want to dive into and help you guys, if this is, you know, something that you want to work on, shift away from like the idea that exercise is like dreadful and like for the sole purpose of changing or maintaining your body, towards more like happy, fun movement that you actually enjoy doing. And this is because like when exercise is actually something that you can enjoy, it's going to be more sustainable and you're going to reap more benefits from it when it's something that you can actually do regularly rather than something that you kind of hop on and off of when you feel like you need to change how you look, you know, if you're not feeling happy with how you look or whatever. So one thing that I did, and I guess right now might be a good time to do it, I kind of put some feelers out there on Instagram to like see or gauge how people were feeling about exercise or what their, you know, what thoughts kind of come up when I say the word exercise or movement.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to bring that up here. I have to take you off Facebook.
And maybe I can hearken back while you're doing that. I can sort of hearken back to our BS of the week and say something that would actually help your digestion. is exercise.
Totally. Yeah, we actually
unlike talked about food that. Combining.
Yes, we talked about that in our traveling and nutrition episode in season one, because we were talking about how, like, when you travel, sometimes you're not moving as much, you're spending a lot of time sitting, and and that can affect your digestion. So we kind of recommended exercise or movement if you can.
Sorry, I'm laughing because that was our best episode title to date, the traveling sisterhood of constipation.
Yeah, I know, or the sisterhood of traveling constipation.
Oh, sisterhood of traveling constipation.
Yeah, I don't, I honestly don't know if anyone found that funny but us, but anyways.
Well, yeah, well, I'm sorry to those people if they didn't find it funny.
Okay, I'm gonna read off some of the things that people wrote in about, you know, how they felt about exercising or what barriers they faced to exercising. Someone,
I wonder,
said,
if some of these people are from Munich.
You never know. So someone said, I love playing sports and group exercise but hate working out alone. So that was a barrier for them. They said, someone else said, I like to exercise, especially when stressed, but sometimes when I get busy, I forget how good it feels. So they kind of lose, you know, if they've gone a long stretch without exercising, they forget about how that actually makes them feel. Someone said, cost of gym memberships or classes, home gym is impossible, and body weight exercises have their limits. So that was another thing. Someone else said, it boosts my mood and I love having exercise goals to work towards. It's good for mental health. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Then they said, or someone else said, I have bad knees and I'd love to squat, run hills and hike mountains, but it's not the best for me. So that's a great point, like recognizing what exercises are good for your body based on, you know, injuries that you might have or whatever. Someone said, time management, not prioritizing exercise. Someone else said, when I hated my body and wanted to shrink it, I hated exercise and was afraid of others judging me during sports. It continued on to another message here. Example, not going for runs on busy streets or parks. No, didn't go to studios. I was ashamed. Yeah, I think that's really common for a lot of people. Someone else said time, convenience, and children are a barrier for them.
Oh, yeah. And now during the pandemic when they're home all the time.
Right. So actually the last three here, that person said time, convenience, children. Someone else said, love it, but finding a babysitter is hard. And someone else said, love it, lack of time and lack of sleep, busy kid schedule, and trying to fit in work as well. So, and actually one of those people elaborated a little bit more in the DMs. They sent me a DM and said, you know, motherhood really changed how I view exercise. She said that, the recommendations for exercise for Canadians is 150 minutes per week. That's what the exercise guidelines are. And she said that, like, she was like, as a mother of two, like two young children, she was like, 150 minutes a week for me, like, just isn't realistic.
Can I ask you what kind of intensity is that supposed to be?
Yeah, so moderate exercise.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be anything super intense or
anything
like that. Yeah. Now that we have kind of some, you know, I really appreciated people writing in because it
gave us some
things that we can kind of relate our messaging to. One thing to just cover quickly is like the non-weight related benefits of exercise. So some of the things, you know, you and I know are beneficial, you know, from participating in regular exercise is blood pressure reduction or management and improvement of other cardiovascular risk factors, so like cholesterol or triglycerides. Blood sugar control is another one. Stress reduction and just improved mental well-being.
Totally, and that's been related to like measurable reductions in the level of cortisol in the blood, which is you know, a molecule that's signaling stress to different parts of the body. You also see changes in the brain, like literal changes in the brain that are related to, you know, just like better cognition, better mood with regular exercise for sure.
Yeah, totally. And then just a few other ones I can think of, like, what was I going to say? Oh, you mentioned it already. Digestion and just general feelings of like well-being, energy, those kinds of things.
Totally.
Exercise, regular exercise can absolutely contribute. So regular is kind of the key, or consistent exercise. So engaging in regular exercise, having not necessarily a routine, but just, you're not going to see as many of those benefits that we listed if you're, if you exercise for like a week straight, and then you go a month without exercising, and then you exercise for another week, and then you kind of have to find something that works for you. Not necessarily 150 minutes per week if that's not what is realistic for you right now. Every little bit kind of counts. And then
I was actually hoping we could talk a little bit about that, like finding routine or finding a pattern.
Sure. So yeah, actually you go ahead. I've been talking so much.
No. Cause it's a really good point you bring up. It's like, it doesn't have to be a very rigid schedule, mm-hmm. right? Like mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be this thing that, if you don't follow it, that you punish yourself because you're not sticking to whatever, yeah. you know? So I actually, so the biggest thing for me with respect to obstacles and exercises, I really, if I don't have a pattern, and this is just like general for me in my life, if I don't have a habit, I very quickly like lose
right
any sort of ability to like maintain doing something
sure.
Habitually. So I really do best if I can have a routine, and I can kind of stick to it, but not necessarily like a very rigid schedule, right?
Yeah. So, I agree. I definitely feel the same. And I think that's like that one person said on Instagram, you know, they really enjoy it, but then if they get stressed and kind of fall out of their exercise, or they for some reason don't have time to exercise, they forget about how good it feels. So there is definitely something to say about having some sort of structure, but not necessarily like a strict or rigid routine.
Yeah.
Just to keep kind of reminding yourself why you do like exercise or how good it does feel. And it is really like, it's all about like a mindset shift and kind of moving away from exercise to burn calories or quote unquote blast fat, like so many programs state or workout videos, you know, say they do, and kind of stepping away from that like black or white or all or nothing mentality around exercise. Like you failed if you didn't do it, and right. you're really good if you did do it. Those are kind of steps that I really find helpful to getting into like a healthier habit of exercising, and not kind of like, this week I was so good because I exercised 3 times, or like this week I was, you know, I was off the wagon because I didn't exercise at all. When you kind of, and it's the same with eating, when you kind of step away from the good versus bad, or the, you know, the constant judgment around what you're doing, it's a lot easier to kind of fall into a more like intuitive, joyful movement routine, rather than like feeling like you have to exercise because you haven't in
right.
3 days. It's like, well, I actually am craving exercise because it feels good and I haven't done it in a while, or I haven't done it in the last 2 days. Yeah.
So I was just going to maybe share, like, I mean, for the past couple of months, like, I don't know, I just haven't been able to prioritize personal life really yeah. well. So I've totally lost any sense of habit or routine. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of trying to rebuild that again. So I was just going to share, like, I have like 4 things that yeah. I've been trying to be like mindful about to help yeah. me with that. And definitely the first one is exactly what you're saying. Is like, have no shame and no guilt around not being able to follow through. I mean, there's just yep. like, there's no point because
it's not productive. Like,
it's guilt not productive. And shame, like,
yeah.
Yeah. You're just going to make yourself feel bad, and that might just like send you down a negative spiral. Totally, there's totally. No point in feeling bad about it. Just like, you have to just move on, right? You just absolutely. Have to keep going.
I agree.
The second thing for me is I have to be realistic about what my goals are around this. And what I know I can achieve. Like for a while there, I was like really running a lot during the pandemic, and that was like working for me. But right now I just know that's not working for me.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to incorporate more walking as a routine. So I kind of changed my goals there. And before I was running, and like before the pandemic, I was going to the gym a lot, and that was working for me. But again, that's not working for me right now, and I can just kind of be flexible and change what I want to do.
Right. Yeah, I really like that. Can I just say one thing about that?
Please.
I think that that's really something that, you know, I think about the handful of moms who wrote in and said, like, time or squeezing workouts in, or my, you know, how I look at exercise has really changed since becoming a mom. And I think those are all really applicable to, like, what you said is really applicable to being a mom and, like, kind of shifting what's realistic for you, or, you know, or your expectations around that at that, you know, in that season of life. Like, if you have like a baby or little like toddlers running around, it's probably not realistic to, like one person said, fit in 150 minutes of exercise every week.
Yeah.
So maybe kind of scaling back and looking at what is realistic for you, that almost makes it a little more, it makes it less intimidating to just even think about exercising if the goals are more realistic, or if
I think that's why it's so movement is such a good word, because it's more inclusive of
it's not
any type of exercise, like running around with your kids, and
it's,
I know,
movement.
Like moms in our family, like people we know, friends and family, that is movement, like that is
Absolutely.
exercise. You're exercising running around after your kids.
I agree.
Another thing I find really helpful for me, and like maybe it wouldn't be helpful for everybody, but I really do have to write it down. I have to plan it. I have to organize it. Like I have to put it in my agenda as something that I can check off on a day when I do it. Like, okay, I went for a walk like this. And for me, it's not about like necessarily about accountability, but for me, it's more like I am acknowledging that it was effort that I expended that was a part of my day. Like, it's something productive that I did. So, yes, it does deserve to be on my to-do list. And, yes, I am checking it off. Like, that was a whatever, however long time, amount of time that I spent. This is part of my day. So it's going on my to-do list. It's going on my checklist. So I'm checking
it
off.
I love that. And I think sometimes it's really, that's really an individual thing. Cause
I
think that for some people who may have struggled with like a, you know, eating disorders or, you know, exercise obsessions or things like that, or exercise addiction, like those, like scheduling might not work for them anymore because like they were so rigid around it and they don't want to kind of fall back into those really restrictive kind of habits. But I do think that for some people, scheduling can be really, really beneficial because, again, you see it on your to-do list as like, another thing that it is productive. Like it is something that
that's what I mean is like the perspective shouldn't be around accountability. For me, it's more about like this. I was being effortful and this isn't something that like movement, because it's like so part of such an important thing for our well-being, it shouldn't be this thing that's like extracurricular, you know what I mean?
Right. It's like if you get the time to do it. Yeah,
exactly. We should look at it as like, or at least I'm trying my best to start looking at it as this is part of my everyday living or whatever, you know?
Yeah, it's just part of your kind of your routine. I think that I like to view exercise, and it is, I don't just view it, but I know that it is like a form of caring for myself and my body and my mental health. And like looking at it as a form of self-care is really helpful, kind of shifting away from a punishment sort of mentality, like burning off the food you ate or burning the fat on your body or whatever it is, and shifting to towards more like taking care of yourself, burning off stress, clearing your mind, just taking time for you. And so I even schedule, like in my weekends, I like write down on my to-do list, like self-care. Like so whether that's like taking a bath or whether that's like taking an hour to just like sit and read by myself, whatever it is. So scheduling exercises, like to me, it's like scheduling, not necessarily self-care. Scheduling, but adding it to my to-do list is like scheduling self-care. Like it's,
I love that,
you know, because a lot of times if I don't have it on my to-do list, then I forget about it or I won't do it, but you know, or I'll just get caught up doing other things. But if I see it on the to-do list, I'm like, right, this is a productive thing, just like going out to get groceries or just like doing some work, whatever. Yeah.
And then I'll say just the last thing for me is I'm really bad at doing this, but I'm really trying to reward myself more for even like the small accomplishments in my life. So I would say like reward yourself for taking the time to take care of yourself, you know, in whatever way that would be, like something that you don't normally do for yourself, do it for yourself or give yourself time off. You know,
The idea, like that you said, give yourself time off. I had that written down as well, but I had said like prioritize rest as much as you prioritize exercise. So because the two really need to go together, because if you're exercising or moving your body in whatever way that it is, like your body also needs time to rest and recover, and you're not going to like reap the benefits of exercise if you're not also letting your body recover or rest. So I do think that like in order to really find enjoyable exercise, it's also important to allow yourself, yeah, almost like a reward or like resting as the reward. So
yeah,
you know, having quote unquote rest days or having days off from movement is, you need that just as much as you need like to find a way to move your body in a way that you enjoy. I think that forcing yourself to exercise when you're exhausted isn't, I don't know, that's, it's not pleasant. It's not fun.
Yeah.
It kind of perpetuates a negative relationship with exercise because
totally.
It makes it something that's dreadful. Like if your body is physically exhausted and you're like, but I have to work out today, or even I have it written down in my schedule, you have to like also kind of have, like we said, kind of live in the gray area rather than the black
and
white.
You have to
have
flexibility.
Yeah, have that flexibility to say, actually, I'm really tired today. Or actually, the kids are really a handful today and it's not going to happen, you know, or it's just going to make me feel worse if I try to exercise. So it's really kind of having that, being able to tune in and like really understand what would feel good for your body that day. And I know that takes some work.
It brings up what you just said, brings up for me, I really don't like the phrase work-life balance, because I think that's actually, that's like trying to force a rigid structure on yourself. Like we've acknowledged so many times, like you can have these seasons of life, which to me sounds like so funny every time we say it, but it can be so true. Like,
yeah.
Work-life balance in my mind should be just like, acknowledge that you need to be flexible and take care of yourself whenever that needs to happen.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I agree. It's not necessarily.
And for some people, it's like work-life balance is like means I have to exercise at 8 p.m. or I have to make sure I wake up at 5:30 so I can get this done. You know, that's.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that works for some people, but it has not worked for me.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point that really health and wellness is so individual.
Yeah.
And so these are, you know, we're trying to really generalize a lot of what we're saying, but again, some of it you might be sitting home listening and realize like, well, actually that doesn't work for me, and that's okay. Like,
yeah, that's really you taking care of yourself. Congratulations. Yeah.
Exactly. It's all about what's best for you and your body and maybe your family if you're taking care of kids, and all of, you know, it's highly individual, and for some people certain things aren't realistic, and so for some people certain things work really well. So it is a very individual thing. We're just trying to help you guys kind of shift your mindset a little bit. So one thing that obviously in joyful movement we have to do is find forms of movement that we enjoy. So that's, you know, really, that's the only way we're going to start enjoying it, is if we actually get or derive pleasure from the activity that we're taking part in. So if you hate running, forcing yourself to run 3 times a week isn't it. Like that's not how you're gonna, you know, just making yourself go out and do it isn't going to be your joyful movement, like, or whatever it is. So if you have, for some people they said, you know, they really like group exercise and sports and doing things in a group, and that absolutely, all of that counts. Like you don't have to be slaving away at the gym to be getting benefits. You can absolutely be playing a sport or doing things with friends. But then for other people, they said that like they felt uncomfortable in group situations. And that's okay too. You don't have to partake in like the trendy workout classes and stuff like that if you don't feel comfortable. You can absolutely partake in things that, you know, if it's in your home or if it's walking in a quiet area where there's not a lot of people around, those things are totally okay. And it really is what works for you and what's going to make you feel good and comfortable. And then even like you said, I want to just make a point that walking is absolutely exercise. Some people think that like they don't even look at exercise as a, or walking as a form of exercise. They don't think it's intense enough, or like they don't feel like they're reaping any benefits from it. And I just want to clear that up. Like walking is a great form of movement.
There's this idea that you need to exercise to the point of exhaustion. Mm-hmm. But not only can that like not be fun, just in general, it's not joyful. We can talk about this maybe in a future podcast, but I have read some science around that, and we're not like an exercise podcast, but I don't know.
No.
Maybe we want to talk about this, but working out or exercising to the point of exhaustion, you're more likely to A, hurt yourself, and B, the benefit, like the scientific benefit for like muscle mass, for example, is not astronomical or like so much better compared to just like exercising with moderate intensity.
Yeah.
Going to the point of no return is not actually, like, just because someone looks cool and is like screaming at the gym when they're deadlifting, it doesn't mean they're getting a better workout than you.
Yeah. I agree. And I also think it's important to note that like, so high intensity exercise for some people is really not fun, and it's not, you know, they don't like it at all. It's really painful. And then for some people, they do like it, but you have to, if you are doing high intensity exercises or things that, you know, you like pushing your body to limits or whatever it is, again, it's okay. But making sure that you are taking time, letting your body rest. Like,
yeah.
I can't stress enough how important it is. Like, if you like high intensity things, making sure that you are letting your body rest and giving it enough days to rest or time to rest, whatever it is, that's really important. I remember I used to, so we all know, like, I, in high school and university, I didn't have a great relationship with food and exercise. And at one point, like, I was doing high intensity workout classes, like, oh my gosh, four times a week. I was like really pushing my body, and I felt like shit. Like, I was like, why don't I feel good? Like, why is my digestion out of whack? Like, why do I feel like I got hit by a bus every Friday night? And it was because I was not giving my body during the week any time to rest. I was just like going about my daily life, which was busy. And then on top of that, participating in like hour long high intensity workout classes almost every day. And I thought for some reason that was like, I was like really athletic and like, you know, this is, I'm being an athlete, like doing, but I wasn't like a key component of like being an athlete and improving your fitness is also resting and letting your body recover. And exercise is a form of stress on the body. And some exercise stress is a good thing. Like, we know we reap some benefits from exercising, but too much without enough rest is bad. Like, it's not good for our bodies.
I think that's actually why when you see people who do high intensity exercise at the gym, the people who know what they're doing are the people who are doing something high intensity for a few minutes, and then they're like walking around the gym, taking their time, going to get a drink, talking to their friend. Like, going to the gym and doing high intensity exercise can be like a very slow and social thing, because those people know what they're doing. They know they need to rest their muscles after they just did something like that.
Yeah.
So absolutely. If you're finding that you're pushing yourself to the point of like, whatever, feeling sick or feeling like you're about to get hurt just because of some sort of pressure about like, that's what quote unquote exercise should be, like, don't do that to yourself. Not only is it not worth it because it's not joyful, but it's not worth it like physiologically either.
Yeah, I agree. I think one thing, so I'm just thinking of one person's comment that I wanted to address, was the person who said that like gym memberships are too expensive.
Yeah.
A home gym isn't possible, and right. body weight exercises only like do so much or like are only so beneficial. And I honestly like I kind of disagree. Like, I guess it depends on like the type of exercise that they enjoy, this person that said that, but body weight exercises are great. And
I think that's what most like athletics, like varsity teams at university, for example, like a lot of their working out is not necessarily like within the gym, but is a lot of like body weight exercises because I don't know, they're really beneficial. They're easy to do, especially in large groups. You don't need any sort of equipment or anything.
Yeah, I think I remember back to like my varsity athletics days and like some of my, I mean, some, I remember we would get when I was in university, a training plan for the summer. Sure. I played soccer and obviously a lot of your training is like practice, like soccer practice and playing yeah. soccer. But then, you know, some of our training was like, we were recommended to run so like so much during the week, but again it wasn't anything super excessive, it was well planned out. And then there was some like there was like some weights here and there, but like you said, a lot of it was like push-ups and things that we could do at sit-ups, things we could do at home,
planks
with, with minimal equipment. Like there might have been some like dumbbells here and there to do certain exercises, but other than that, like we didn't need squat racks and like, you know, all that stuff to train and still make, you know, be athletes. So
totally. It also is just like, you know, it sometimes like I love the feeling of doing, I'm not like very good at them and I don't do very high weight, but I kind of like miss the feeling of like doing a deadlift or doing, like a back squat or something like with a bar and with weights, like that can feel really good. And you kind of like, it can feel like you're pushing yourself a little bit and you can do like so many reps or whatever. But then I get down and do a plank and I'm like 30 seconds in, I'm like, I'm ready to give up. And 1 minute, it's like, whoa, I can't believe I did that. And you do one, you're like, I'm like done for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So these body weight exercises actually, like because they're incorporating your body weight, they're incorporating so much of your muscle mass at the same time. Like,
yeah.
I actually think that's why it can be a really good exercise. And I don't think you necessarily need equipment to get a good workout.
I don't think so either. And I also don't think you need to spend a lot of money. I mean, there's like a vast amount of YouTube workouts and different styles of workouts
that's a really good point
at home.
If you don't want to do planks, you don't want to do push-ups, like do some research. That was actually a point I had down, so you're not doing the same thing all the time. There's so much you can, you know, one thing I love doing, which is really joyful movement, and I do this with Thomas, is sometimes we put on a choreography video and learn the choreography to a dance.
I love that. That's absolutely that's an amazing form of movement. And yeah, like you said, like if you don't like doing a certain type of exercise, or you know, if maybe like planks or push-ups are painful on your wrists, like you can literally search up like strength workouts that don't involve like pushing, sure. or you can look up like low impact strength workouts, so you're not like putting a lot of pressure on your joints and things like that. Like you can really specify it online and find something that works for your body. Like again, someone had said they want to be able to participate in squatting and running and hiking, but it, you know, their knees don't feel good when they do that.
Yeah.
So they have to kind of align with that and do something else. And again, it's kind of like partnering with your body to like figure out what you enjoy, and two, what makes your body feel good and what your body likes to.
Maybe we'll shout out Decolonizing Fitness in the show notes again, because they do a lot of those examples of low impact workouts for people of all kinds of abilities.
Yep. And then I've also seen other people do videos for workouts online that are like low noise, so like not a lot of jumping around or anything that would create noise. So like if you have a baby sleeping, or maybe your partner works shift work and they are like sleeping during the day, and you want to squeeze in some movement, like there, you know, again, like I said, like you can really specify. So there's so much out there, and it really is a lot of, you know, about finding what you like, what works for you and your lifestyle and your body, and just removing and stepping away from the pressure to participate in like what's trendy, or just do something because someone else is doing it, or you really have to let that go, because we're all so unique and we all have different bodies, and
playing with your cats like for 15 minutes is movement. That can qualify as, like, you don't have to, movement does not, that's why I like you introduced me really to that term, movement, instead of just exercise, and it's so much more inclusive. You don't have to look one way to be doing exercise.
Yeah, and sometimes it just feels more accessible and approachable, movement, rather than, because again, like walking your dog is movement, or playing with your dog in the backyard, playing with your kids outside is movement. These things are all beneficial.
When you don't need fancy workout clothes to do exercise either. If you have a cotton shirt, like that is going to be really breathable. Maybe it's not going to wick your sweat as well as like something that's like more expensive or designed perfectly to do that, but you're going to feel really good doing it just as you would in a very expensive workout like costume.
And same with like if you're at work all day, but it's really beautiful outside, you know, getting outside to just go for a stroll, like on your break or whatever, like even though you're not changed into your workout clothes, like it still counts. It's still movement.
And so what if you have pitters when you get back to the office? Those are your pitters. You'd be proud of them. Is that okay to say?
Pitters. Yeah, sure. Okay, I think that kind of wraps up this episode. I hope this was helpful for you guys and maybe made movement feel a little more approachable. If it's something that you have felt a lot of barriers to, maybe you didn't realize that there were certain benefits to doing so that weren't related to how you look, that might motivate you a little more to participate in it. And because it really is like what's going to stick and what's going to be sustainable is what makes you feel good and what, you know, keeps you coming back to it. So if it, you know, if it doesn't make you feel good, or if you're only doing it for a change in your body, those things aren't going to last. It's not going to, if it's just about changing your body, but you're not truly liking what you're doing, like you're never going to build up, any form of regularity or consistency, because once, like if you don't see changes or, whatever, then you're going to feel discouraged and not want to do it again.
Yeah, and try to change the label of what you think exercise is, you know, like, and if you are someone who wants to set a long-term goal, like your long-term goal does not have to be a marathon. It could be a hike, or it could be like learning how to like be better at hula hooping or something like that. Like it can be whatever movement you want it to be.
Absolutely.
Something that you can work towards.
Tarek, why don't you tell me what's been tasty for you this week?
Oh, sure. Okay. Well, I will say I got to safely and socially distantly enjoy something really wonderful this past week. There was an event at Dalhousie put on and organized by a really awesome group of black undergraduate students. And they called it Black is Gold. And it was a space where black, not just students, but like black people who came, artists, students, activists, just like got to share their stories, especially like with reference to, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement after George Floyd's murder. And it was really lovely. Like I got to hear so many amazing perspectives. Of course, all of them were very unique and people shared a lot about their activism and what they want to see changed. And I was also really lucky to enjoy a lot of people's art. There was some rappers, there was some poets, some singers, who like showed up and just like performed their art. And it was really, really lovely. And I hadn't like seen live art in a long time, and it was just so, a lot of it was so moving and so emotional, and I actually like almost like cried during some of it. It was so amazing. It was just like a really lovely space and a really lovely time. And I'm so grateful for the organizers and the people who shared that. That's totally my tasty of the week.
Yeah. That's wonderful. That's like the best tasty Now I don't even want to share mine.
No, you have to. What's been tasty for you?
Oh my God, mine is so lame.
No, it's not. Stop.
What's been tasty for me this week was Pat and I went to Costco the other day.
Okay.
We haven't been to Costco in a while.
Masks on.
Yes, masks on. And we bought, I don't know, it was kind of on a whim. I don't usually buy mango, but we bought like a box of mangoes.
Oh, so good.
And oh my God, they're actually really good. And I'm curious, Tarek, how do you cut your mango?
Oh, I don't do like the TikTok thing or whatever.
What's the TikTok thing?
Like everybody does like squares or whatever, and then they pop them out.
Oh, that's what I was taught. I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, it's cute.
My mom taught me to do that, but
yeah. It's cute. I just don't, I like, I've been eating mangoes since I was little. I like never really ate them that way. I think usually what I used to do was just like chop them into the biggest pieces possible and then just like scoop it out.
Yeah, that's good too. I actually did that. I had some mango this morning with my breakfast sandwich and I didn't have the time to like slice the little squares into it and then kind of pop them out. So I just like slice them into strips and just like.
Yeah, because you can do it in like basically four big chunks.
Yeah.
And that gets most of it. And then you can, maybe this is just me, then you can like suck on the pit. And, like,
oh, I do that. And like the pieces of the skin that still have like some mango left on them.
And then you have all the like mango hairs inside your teeth and you have to floss right away. Yeah.
Yes. Mango is like so precious that like you have to like suck off.
Get every last bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Because like if you just, it's so expensive. And if you just cut like the pieces off of it, you're missing so much of the fruit still. So
totally.
And same I find with like cutting it into the little squares, and then like I find when you pop off the little squares or like slice them off, you're still missing so much of the fruit left on the skin.
You have to suck on that pit until it's bone dry.
You do. Yeah. I also saw something on TikTok that like about the mango pit, and like people were like saving the mango pit and
for
like,
what?
I don't know if they were, like, putting it out in the sun or something, but it was, like, growing hairs.
Oh. Can you grow a mango plant from a pit? I, like, don't know anything about gardening.
I don't know, but I forget what exactly it was. But anyways, that's besides the
That's an amazing point. Tasty.
Yeah,
I have mango. Such fond memories of when I was younger, and I remember they were from Mexico. The big pallets of mangoes would come into the to the store, and you could smell them. They're like so ripe. Like I don't know if that's different now. Like I don't see.
I don't usually see pallets of mango.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I feel like they're only in the stores. Like I don't even find mango
for like a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad we bought a.
Like, is global warming ruining everything?
It sure is. All right.
Yeah.
Well.
Leave us a review and tell us what you think about global warming.
Or just leave us a review and tell us what you think of the podcast. We have now started like delegating our friends. Like when people send us a message telling us how much they love the podcast, we're like, we talked about this the other day. We're like, stop sending me DMs.
Yeah, don't tell me.
Yeah, go leave a rating and a review, please.
Also, people think we're rich because of this podcast. They just want to shout out and say we're not.
I just want to shout out and say that we are losing money.
But you know what we're gaining? Love.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are gaining love. And I'm just kidding. Like, please feel free to send us DMs and tell us how you love the podcast. But we would also really appreciate it if you would leave us a rating and review, because it really does. It helps us, like, go up on the charts, and it helps people find our podcast. So if
yeah,
you want
like
more
the charts
listen,
in Munich. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I only know how to say one thing in German. I only know how to say one thing, and I'll leave you with this. I know how to say, wo ist mein Handy?
And what does that mean?
That means, where is my cell phone?
Why do you know that?
I don't know. We love you. We live you. We laugh you. We love talking about nutrition with you. Thank you for listening. Copy. Haven't heard from you in a while. You still there?
Copy.
Lift for my music. Famous reviewer of the pod. How have you been doing? Subscribe to the podcast. Follow Hannah on Instagram and Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram if you want. I'm on Twitter a lot more. Tell us what you want to hear. How have you been moving? Have you been chasing those kids around? Have they been chasing you around? Are you learning choreo? Okay, you have to cut me off now. Okay, bye everyone.
Okay, bye guys.